Okay, thank you. So this is the outline of this talk. After a brief introduction, I will try to give you an update on the status of the machine, the Large Hadron Collider. Then a few slides on the Atlas and the CMS detectors. Finally, some results on the main topics of this talk, which is the search of the Standard Model Higgs, and then a slide for the conclusion. The Higgs boson, I think I have not to summarize here in detail the reasons for which we want to go for this search. By the way, this is our first Higgs boson that visited the Atlas detector recently. We know that this is the left mass limit for the Higgs boson. We know that experimentally the mass must be larger than 114 GeV. The Higgs boson has been searched and is being searched also, of course, at the Tevatron Collider. I'm not sure these are the most recent results, but they are a few months old. And in any case, here the conclusion is that we collected up to more than three inverse femtobands, expected six or seven by the end of next year. And with 1.9 inverse femtobands, we should be able experimentally to exclude the Standard Model Higgs boson at around the mass of 2x the W mass, 160 GeV. Actually, I think the Tevatron is really at, I think, 1.1x the cross-section times branch ratio Standard Model. So the machine we are talking about, as you know, is located at CERN, Geneva, between the Jura and the Lake Leman. It's 27 km circumference. Here you can see the main parameters of the nominal parameters of the machine. 7 TeV is the beam energy. This is the number of particles per bunch. There are almost 3,000 bunches per beam. The stored beam energy is an important parameter. In megajoule, it's almost 400 megajoules. And then you can see the nominal luminosity here is 10^34. Here you can see around the end of April the descent of the last dipole of the machine and the elements that are making the machine have done basically almost 30,000 km underground at a speed of 2 km per hour. The machine is not only magnets and dipoles, quadrupoles, what else. There is a huge system to cool the machine. And this now is, as you know, is ready, has been the project has been completed at the end of November 2007. You could see the numbers, 120 tons of liquid helium and more than 10,000 tons of liquid nitrogen. This is the scheme of the machine. In colors, following this legend, you can see the temperature of the different sectors. You know, this machine has to work at the temperature of about 2 Kelvin, 1.9 actually, to be operational. And to make short story, here you can see the sectors here are, for example, this is sector from 0.4 to 5, it's called sector 4-5, and so on, sector 6-7, sector 1-8, and so on and so forth. So if you go here, you can see for each sector the temperature we had on May 16 of the machine while it's cooling down. And I would say that there are still two sectors that are still rather warm, but there are already one, two, three sectors at about the nominal temperature, one close to the nominal temperature, and the cooling down is proceeding quite smoothly. This, I think, is good. By the way, this is the, I think, the lowest temperature we have in the universe. It's located in Geneva. Okay. The commission of the machine. There are four stages. I will spend some word on the first stage. Basically, at the first stage, there is the initial commission of the machine. We start with the 43 times 43 bunches. We cannot put, we don't want to put all the bunches at the first time. The number of protons per bunch will be about 3 × 10⁻¹. Against the, it's about 10 times smaller than the nominal parameter. Then there will be a zero to very small partial squeeze. Okay. Then in the stage B, we move to 75 nanoseconds operation. Stage C, we move to 25 nanoseconds, but the beams are still low intensity. And then the last, after a large shutdown, there will be the final stage, the one that will bring the machine at the nominal parameters. And initially, the stage A, basically what we have, okay, here the number of bunch, the beta star, the focusing of the beams will be not complete, and there will be no crossing angle, or if you want, crossing angle will be zero. There is no need to go for an angle because the parasitic interactions are not a problem in this situation. This is the schedule for this year. So at the beginning of July, LHC expected to be cooled down at 1.9 K. Then middle of July, the experimental currents are closed and all the safety system will be installed. August 1st, there will be the pilot run. And for about 2 months, we have collisions. After 2 months, we will have, hopefully, the first collision at 10 TV. This will be the initial energy. At the end, there will be a pause at the end of 2008 to prepare to train the last magnets to operate at the nominal currents that will bring the energy to 14 TV. At the beginning, we hope, quite realistically, we should be able to collect few picobarn at 10 TV this year. If things will go particularly well, it's still possible to think on a luminosity of few tenths of inverse picobarn. This is this year. Next year, magnets will be trained to 7 TV. Then we go for 75 nanoseconds, move to 25, and to make short story, we hope to collect a few units of inverse tetobar. One of the reasons to proceed carefully is that the stored energy is huge, is important, at least for the nominal parameters. And the stored energy is equivalent in the LHC to this aircraft carrier at 12 nodes energy. And we want to avoid next year to come here and tell you what happened when the beam was dampened and things didn't go regularly. So the detectors. This, you know, is the largest detector. I don't know how much details I should tell you, but not that many. It's 44 meters long. The diameter is about 25 meters compared to the building 40 at CERN, hosting most of the Atlas SMA physicists, is even larger than this building. But what I want to underline here is that I would never believed this was possible. Atlas is almost fully installed. 100% of the detector is there. We miss few parts, but they are not very critical. We miss some part in the TRT, is the gas tracking that you have just here, here, excuse me, here and here, two parts. And these chambers that would be very useful to measure muons at rapidity 1.2. But there are plans to put this chamber as soon as possible. So I'm just to give you some quick picture of the hadronic calorimeter installed, of the liquid argon hadronic follower calorimeter that is going in place. The inner detector. The inner detector is, as you know, in Atlas is based on silicon technology, and then also to a gas detector technology which is surrounding the silicon system, is the TRT. Here you can see the pixel detector inserted in the system. This is the silicon detector, and this is the central detector from the hadron calorimeter down to the pixel detector in the barrel installed. The muon spectrometer is, I think, the largest muon system ever built. This is the forward toroid. You can see the 8 coils producing the 0.5 Tesla around the system. CMS detector is a complementary or orthogonal approach, which is good, to Atlas. It's a more compact. It's based only on one magnet, producing 4 Tesla field. And the calorimeter is in crystal against the one of Atlas, which is in liquid argon technology. Also, in this case, you can see the silicon detectors as well used by CMS, the 4 Tesla magnet, modules of the crystal calorimeter in the barrel. This is the hadron calorimeter around. This is the little yoke and the muon. And this is the first closing of CMS in July 2006. Here you can find the main characteristics of these two detectors. From the magnet, 3 8-core toroid magnets plus 1 solenoid for Atlas, 1 magnet only for CMS. Tracker based on silicon tracker in both cases. The Atlas detector uses also TRT. The electromagnetic calorimeter is lead liquid argon for Atlas, is crystal in CMS, and then here there is the standalone muon system of Atlas, while CMS uses the field in the return yoke. And the trigger also is rather similar, but not completely. The two-level one system are quite similar. The high-level trigger is done with different approach, but in physics, the performance is expected to be the same. What's new with the experiments? With the simulation studies at LHC, in particular in Atlas. Many studies have been performed using detailed giant simulation of the latest version of the both detectors, Atlas and CMS. From the point of view of the generators, there are have been used new Monte Carlos that are based in the next leading or next to next leading order corrections. New approaches to match Parton showers and matrix elements Monte Carlo. And then more accurate and better error reconstruction software than the one we are going to prepare for the data taking, and that is based on test beam experience. Last but not least, in these studies, the trigger response evaluated carefully. So starting from X22 photons, I think you heard this kind of summary 100 times, but I want just to give you the main points here, the trigger. The trigger is based in a single or double photon selection. In the case of Atlas, for example, either 2 photons around 20 GeV energy isolated, or just 1 single photon, 60 GeV. CMS uses something equivalent with a lower energy. Offline, you have larger stronger cut. And then we have to check that the photons are produced by the same vertex. Here you can see, for normalizing to offline new selections, the trigger response as a function of the photon energy for level 1 and high-level trigger. And you can see that we reach a quite nice plateau above the threshold, with the plateau inefficiency that is remarkably is rather good. I should say here the isolation has not been applied, but what counts here is that, for example, for a 120 GV Higgs, the trigger efficiency with respect to your analysis is more than 90%, it's 94%, and this is the trigger rate that you get, we expect to take from the data. Level 1, 140 Hz, and even filter couple of Hz, which is, well, acceptable. Here, the main problem, as you can see, is that there is a reducible background that is made by the QCD two photon production, against which nothing we can do. We can only detect a narrow resonance into the two photon invariant mass, for which then the energy resolution is crucial. This is the key motivation for TMS to have opted for the crystal calorimeter. And then you have to have a very strong and powerful photon identification to reject the instrumental background made by jets or pi zeros that can mimic a single isolated photon production. So you need energy solution, high photon efficiency, and also a good gamma-gamma vertex reconstruction to measure the direction of the photons. The rejection in ATLAS is done using the calorimeter. You basically, the longitudinal segmentation in ATLAS, there are three compartments across which you can measure the energy deposition, will tell you the shape of the shower, and measuring the shape, you can establish whether you are detecting a photon or you are seeing something like hadrons. Then the isolation, which is the energy around the cluster made by the your electromagnetic deposition. And then also you want to measure the photon in the inner detector. You want to make sure that there is no track in the central tracker. This is the kind of rejections as a function of the PT of the jet that you get against jets. One of the problems we have in our detector is that the inner detector, unfortunately, is not a gas detector. It cannot be a gas detector for speed and radiation hardness. And therefore, the silicon detector, including the services, do introduce in the central region material that measure the radiation length can amount up to 1.4 X zeros. And this means conversions for our photons. And we have to account for those conversions in order to make a correct reconstruction of the event and also to use as much as possible all the events to photon produce. Another important point is the measurement of the photon direction. Clearly, at low luminosity is not a big problem. You use the main vertex, you reconstruct the main vertex, you measure the point of impact of your photon in the calorimeter, and the straight line will give you the direction. With increasing luminosities, this will be not possible, and therefore, although this is not something now is worrying us in this particular initial runs, something that we have to keep in mind for when we move from 10 to 33 to higher luminosities. So this is the result on the gamma-gamma. Here you can see on top of the background, the continuum from two photons and from the reduced photon jet and jet-jet. You can see the X peak in the case of the CMS. But please account that in order to make this peak visible, this is boosted by a factor, I think, 10. This is inclusive analysis. In the case of ATLAS, this is what we can see when you ask X plus two jets in the VBF mode. Discovery potential. So the best Atlas can expect for the Higgs to two photon reconstruction significance is about with 10 femtobands, index femtobands, is about 4 sigma, more or less independent from the mass from 120 to 140. CMS believes can do better, and for example, for this is the luminosity that you need to reach. Excuse me. This is the discovery significance as a function of the Higgs mass that you get for 13 Vs femtobands. Higgs to 4 leptons. Also in this case is important. The trigger here, the trigger is less problematic, but still one should pay attention not to overlook also this kind of channel. This is the cold-plated channel, but actually the more you study, the more you realize that it's less easy, less easier than expected. The trigger is not a real problem. We hope we can trigger at 10 to 33 to single isolated muons and electrons with this threshold here, but surely we can do a good job with two leptons in case of rays. Yes? These are the curves for the trigger. This is for the muons and the electrons. You can see that for the muons, the plateau doesn't reach the 100%. It's not a problem of efficiency, it's a problem of muon chamber coverage. Here we are talking about muons, and the muons, as all you know, cannot have 100% coverage on the space. For example, there are here, in this point here, this space here will never be filled, because this is used for the services of the experiment. There are other many places where we cannot put chambers, and this reduces our coverage to 80%. The main backgrounds are reported here, so the continuum that you know, ZZ, then the ZBB bar. One background we are facing now, I skip all the other backgrounds that I think you know by heart, is the Z2 two leptons. In the particular case of Z2 two electrons, you can have a non-negligible rate of Z going to two primary electrons plus two additional electrons made by the materials in the inner or out or the external Bremsstrahlung. There are endors to suppress, in any case, this kind of backgrounds, including the one from the Z. One cut is the isolation. You measure the energy around the lepton track, and this is particularly good for the muons. For the electrons, you cannot do much because it's already by definition defined isolated. Otherwise, you can measure the association of the muon to the production vertex, and in particular when you are fighting against ZBB bar, you can detect the non-correct association of all your muons to the primary vertex because they are coming from the decays. These are the efficiencies as a function of the Higgs mass for low mass region, the high mass region, for 4 electrons, 2 electrons, 2 muons, 4 muons. And you can see here we pay the fact that we have a very robust electron identification to reduce the fake electrons produced by the material. And here is less important, and here you can read as a function of the Higgs mass the expected resolution, which matches what we need to see the signal. And this is the simulation for 13 Vs femtoband, for Higgs of 130 GV. Please notice here the number of events. The fluctuations are not reported. This is in Monte Carlo. On top of the ground for 300 GV, and here a comparison between the 140. We don't have the same mass. 150 GV Higgs. The case of CMS Atlas, just to show you that we have comparable results. This is the significance. In the case of Atlas, here I show only the one statistic from assuming statistical error only. Here from CMS, you can see for the three subchannels and the combined significance for 13-best femtobarb. Here you can see in dash the black line. You can see the one statistical and the one if the contribution finding. Sorry? This one, yeah. Here is, yeah. I cannot tell you, I would say it's 130. Yes, but here you have to account that this is for 13-best femtobarb, okay? So for 13-best femtobarb, this we can exclude that 5 sigma, okay? Which one? This one? Yes, unless I read, probably I don't read correctly the Higgs mass, but the Higgs mass value. But what you should really consider here is the level of systematic error. The statistics probably at 13-best femtobarb can go even below 130, but please consider then the cross section goes deeply to zero. So for 2 GV more or less, yes, it's important, but I cannot tell you exactly, but please consider that 120, this channel basically is dead, almost. The WW, also in this case, this is a more complicated channel. I think I should go quickly now. Okay, the trigger we have also in this case single or double lepton selection. Here the W is detected through the to the leptonic decays. Okay, also in this case we want have isolated IPT leptons. Here the one of the variables which we reconstructed to detect this signal is the invariant mass, the transverse invariant mass. Okay. The problem here is that we cannot see a peak on top of the background. So the only thing we can do in order to measure also, to control your level of systematics, is try to build up some control samples. For example, one control sample can be this variable here, where is phi, LL, is the angle between the two leptons in the transverse plane, which is small for the signal, it tends to be large for the background. In this case, what you can say is that here I have my signal region, while here I have my control region, and making a simple counting experiment is not that easy. Probably what you want to do, you want to try to fit the shapes of the background in different samples in order to try to infer the component of the background, for example, in this distribution here. This is the equivalent, what I showed before was in Atlas. This is the situation in CMS. And this is what is obtained, in particular by CMS, with 5-best femtobarb. The significance, a function of the Higgs mass, you can see that if you don't assume systematic effects, you reach a huge amount of sigmas, but then you rapidly go below to this level if you start to including what you think your systematics on your Monte Carlo studies will be. Okay, then there is the channel with the vector boson fusion, QQH, and both experiments here have studied the, so this is the boson fusion, the x to tau tau. And in this case, okay, you know all the story. I'm sorry, I have to go quickly now. All the story about the forward jet tank, the central jet Vito, in order to select this channel. One aspect which has been studied is to reconstruct the in the case, for example, of the lepton-lepton and lepton-hadron is the collinear approximation, where the missing energy in the transverse plane is projected again, along, the, for example, in the case of lepton-lepton, of the two leptons. And at this point, you can reconstruct the neutrino, the tau energy. This is what you obtain in the case of the z to tau tau, is what you obtain for the invariant mass reconstruction. This is in the case of the X120. And those are the reconstruction. For example, in the case of ATLAS, you can see for 13 volts femtobar, the most important background we have around 120 GV, which is the z to tau tau, fitted with the hypothesis of signal plus background, which is this plot here, and with the hypothesis of pure background. The significance, here you can see that we are just at the limit of 5 sigma. The combination, this is something very very new from ATLAS. Please ignore for the moment these two plots here. And this, unfortunately, this is the plot that we prepared in the last week. It's not easy to read. Okay, I plot here as a function of the Higgs mass from 120 GV to 300 GV. The luminosity, we need to exclude the Higgs at 95% confidence level. The exclusion curve is this black line, which includes the WW, gamma gamma, which is not important actually, excuse me, is here, the tau tau and the X2 for leptons. So this region here is excluded by the WW. This red region here is the four leptons, and the combined exclusion is here. So you can see that for less than one femtobar, in less than one femtobar, we can exclude the X, at least up to this interval. Actually, we can see, if you want to have a full picture, you should read the X mass from this line to this line. Sorry, the plots are not completely ready at the level was needed. For the combination between ATLAS and CMS, we don't have any news. This is the result that you know already, you have seen already in many conferences. This is the red curve as a function of the Higgs mass gives you in the vertical axis the luminosity to exclude the 95%. And this is the, excuse me, this is the 95% exclusion, and this is the discovery, the 5 sigma discovery. Now, this plot is old, it's not up to date, but we expect the changes to this plot will be not very important, significant. So we expect to land something very similar. I add few slides on the associated X production to BB bar in case you make questions. Otherwise, just to tell you that this channel is probably the most challenging we have in, yes. Yeah, I think the, the main changes here is the main change. First of all, the new background estimated have been found to be higher than expected. Sorry, higher than the one have been announced in the past. And the second point that, in my opinion, is the most important one, is if you want summarized in this plot here, is the problem of measuring the systematic uncertainty of your background. In other words, knowing the level of the background from the real data. This is the real problem. And for example, you can see as a function of the relative uncertainty of the background, how the significance, take the case of CRS, for example, you start from 3, which is the probability the results quoted in the past. If you start to include even a tiny uncertainty of your background, you, at the level already of 5% uncertainty, you basically kill your significance. This is the main problem. So this problem, this channel, I don't think can be considered as it is now a discovery channel. Probably once the Higgs will be found, you can use this channel to verify that.
So why did they know that 5 years ago?
The background were higher, and the analysis were not accurate at the level.
But the systematic error issue, usually I think better in time.
No, the problem is that this systematic error was not considered carefully in the past. Yes. Basically, this challenge you know very well. First of all, we have to trigger on, for example, on this lepton. Then you have to reconstruct here the 6 quarks. You have to make sure that there are 4 quarks being tagged. You have to make sure that you identify those ones making the W, excuse me, those making the top. So we have to reconstruct and to identify the W here, the W here, then the top, and therefore only at this point you with the 2 B jets left, you reconstruct the Higgs. Okay, so I think I have to really to stop now at this point. And the conclusion is that we are ready to start. The detectors are basically ready. Okay, hopefully we are ready to explore the existence of a standard model or even SUSY X, which is not discussed here. And we are also prepared for possible new scenarios. But the important thing is that I think quickly, depending also on how quickly we will understand the detector, we should be in a position to exclude some Higgs regions with a very modest luminosity. That's it.
Questions? Can you say something about the triggering issues with respect to vector boson fusion or anything new there?
Okay, for this particular channel, from the point of view of the trigger, is not a problem because you trigger on the leptons produced by the tau decay. So basically, you don't trigger on the topology of the of the forward jet, but you want to trigger on the decay products of the Higgs. A different story, which is not covered in this talk, is whether you want, for example, assuming you have an invisible Higgs decay, an Higgs decay to invisible final states, then there is a potential problem. Because the only way you have, if you want to study, if you want to study this Higgs decay associated with the produced by vector boson fusion, then you have to trigger on the forward jets. This is something that has been studied in ATLAS, at least in ATLAS. I'm not aware of studies in CMS on this type, and there are triggers based on forward jet trigger plus central jets that seems to allow, at least, the search for this kind of topologies.
I have a question regarding the Higgs to ZZ to 4 leptons.
Yes.
That particular channel. How, there's some ideas of the Higgs decaying into 4 leptons through different intermediate states.
And which different
intermediate states, not a Z boson. And so my question is, how crucial is it that 2 of those leptons reconstruct a Z in that analysis?
No, I mean, in this analysis, I don't know if I got correctly your question.
So the
we
cuts...
We reconstruct one Z, one real Z. We want one real Z.
You reconstruct one Z boson?
Yes.
Now, if you were to delete that from consideration and was only interested in Higgs going to four leptons,
yes,
how different would the result be in the exclusions and the discoveries?
This actually I cannot tell you. We could lose a good fraction of the significance. The reason is that one key element to suppress the background is to identify the Z boson. If you have to give up on this cut, probably we could reduce substantially the significance. By something to be tried.
Oh, I understand. I think that there are opportunities to find Higgs going to two resonances and then those two resonances going to leptons. But I'm not aware of any LHC analysis that would actually find it today of what they're doing.
Okay, for you agree with me that for the mass above the twice the Z mass, I mean, this I think is not something that you should consider, I think. This applies in the Higgs mass, with in the range between say 120, 180, when instead of having, I don't know, take an Higgs boson of 130, what we typically do, we look for a 90 GeV pair and then a 40 GeV second pair. You could have 265, for example. This is something that we could look at, but this has, at the moment is not studied yet. You agree with me that when we are above the twice the Z mass, basically all the decays go in the middle.
Right. My only statement, I guess I can end with an encouragement, that there be analyses of Higgs boson decaying into four leptons without the intermediate restriction,
yes,
that one of them reconstruct a Z through all mass scales, but particularly light Higgs bosons. And I think it could be that you could reconstruct two resonances with the same invariant mass, but not necessarily the Z.
Exactly. Yes.
Question from Ron.
My question is related to the associated production of the Higgs with TOPS. That is an interesting case study in the sense of having a number of heavy flavor tags, so a number of B quarks in the final state. For me, I'm interested in new physics which might have strong coupling to heavy flavor. And in that sense, this is a kind of a case study. But let me just ask it with regard to that particular standard model channel. You pointed out that it's challenging and you might have other options with regard to the regular standard model Higgs, for example, the one on the screen right now. But suppose I forced you to think about only this way of finding the Higgs in associated production. When you say things like it is challenging and so on, it's helpful for me to ask an experimentalist, suppose I said, don't be so diplomatic. Would you say it's just crazy? This is not the way we are ever going to see it? Or
no, no.
It is challenging but realistic?
I will never tell you this is not possible until I will not have data. I want first to see the data. Probably the situation could be worse than the one anticipated by these plots. But I remember many analyses done at LEP with methods and strategies that were even thought during the preparation of the experiment. So let's us collect the data, hopefully in, at least a couple of years, we can tell you more, I hope.
I have a number of colleagues who attempt to try perverse things like avoid the left bounds on the Higgs mass by some various nefarious activities. And so Suppose I told you that the Higgs actually was between 80 and 100 GeV, and I noticed that none of your plots actually go below 100 or 105.
Yes.
So is there any movement that in the LHC Higgs groups to actually consider this seriously and look in the 80 to 100 GeV range?
Not that I am aware.
It might be a good idea.
Why not? Yes. But please consider that this, I'm recorded right now. But please consider that maybe that this, in particular, this luminosity could be not the optimal parameters. If you, I think the question is different. The problem is, I want to find an Higgs at 80 GeV or 90 GeV mass. Okay, in this case, one should think a bit carefully, more carefully on the global optimization from the detector to the machine.
Okay, if there's no other questions, let's thank our speaker again. Our last talk of the session